Kings in the first chapter once again. And remember, Adonijah is trying to usurp the throne. He's gathered a bunch of men to himself and some high-ranking officials, even the other king of the king's sons together, as well as other people. And he's announcing to them all that he's king. And they're agreeing with him. And so Nathan the prophet hears about this, that he and some of the other of David's men who were close to David, as well as Solomon, weren't invited to this. And so Nathan comes to Bathsheba and gives her instruction of what she's supposed to do. And she's about to go into the king and share with the king what's transpiring and remind him of the oaths that he had made before not only her and Nathan, but before the Lord. And so here we find in verse 15 through 21, it says, "So Bathsheba went into the chamber of the king." Now the king was very old. It didn't say he was just old. He was very old. "And Abishag the Shunammite was serving the king." Remember, she was the concubine to the king. She slept with the king just to keep him warm. And she was a very beautiful young lady. But she cared for the king and was very fond of him. And it said, "Bathsheba bowed and did homage to the king. And the king said, 'What is your wish?' And she said to him, 'My lord, you swore by the Lord your God to your maidservant, saying, Assuredly, Solomon your son shall reign after me and shall sit on my throne. And so now, look, Adonijah has become king. And now, my lord the king, you do not know about it. He has sacrificed oxen and fatted cattle and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the sons of the king, Abiathar the priest, and Joab the commander of the army, but Solomon your servant he has not invited. And as for you, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are on you, that you should tell them who will sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise, it will happen when my lord the king rests with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon will be counted as offenders." You know, particularly in that time, in that era, it was pretty common that if somebody became a king, not so much within the family, but if it was a change of dynasties within the realm, that they would kill off all the previous family, you know. And certainly we know the heart of Adonijah was like that of his brother Absalom and his desire to be king and rebel against not only his father, but against the Lord. And we know that their lives would indeed be in peril because of the fact that David had said that he would be king. The Lord had said that Solomon would be king. So here the prophet Nathan had given Bathsheba the words to speak. And I think the key word to learn here is the word swear. You swore, or you gave an oath. And she knew that David had promised that Solomon would be the next king because Solomon was God's choice, as we've seen before. David had publicly announced the appointment of Solomon when he announced the building of the temple. And we're going to take a look at that in just a moment. But before we do, I want to go ahead and ask God's blessing upon this word tonight. Brother Andy, would you mind asking the blessing?
Heavenly Father, as we call upon you at this time, Lord, we again ask you to open our hearts and our eyes and minds that we might take in your word and learn from it, Father, the lessons that we need for us to walk within your will and do what you want us to do as well. And we'll be able to share it, Father, with those that we need to when we need them. We ask you in Jesus' holy, precious name.
Amen. Now, it's recorded in 1 Chronicles exactly what Bathsheba had said, that her complaint, I mean, it was legit, because indeed God had said that Solomon would be king, and David himself acknowledged that very fact. Here it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 5 and verse 13, "Now David said, 'Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous and glorious throughout all the countries. I will now make preparation for it.' So David made abundant preparations before his death. And then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord, God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, As for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, you have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies all around. His name shall be Solomon. This is God saying it, okay? For I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. And now, my son, may the Lord be with you, and may you prosper and build the house of the Lord your God, as he has said to you. Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage, and do not fear nor be dismayed. So, again, after reminding David of his promise, she informed him that Adonijah was holding this coronation banquet with Abiathar and Joab, who were, again, there with the royal sons, and Solomon wasn't with them. And now, if she knew that Adonijah were able to pull this off, it would be certain death for her and her son. So what David did next was a matter of life and death in her eyes. And so she was just in what she was doing. Verse 22 through 27, we get Nathan who comes in as another witness. Remember, the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or more witnesses, let every word be established. And here we see that principle at work. And just then, while she was still talking with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. And so they told the king, saying, here is Nathan the prophet. And when he came in before the king, he bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, O Lord, O king, have you said, Adonijah shall reign after me? And he shall sit on my throne. For as he has gone down today and has sacrificed oxen and fatted cattle and sheep in abundance and has invited all the king's sons and the commanders of the army and Abiathar the priest, and look, they are eating and drinking before him. And they said, long live King Adonijah. But he has not invited me, your servant, nor Zadok the priest, nor Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, nor your servant Solomon. Has this thing been done by the Lord the king, and you have not told your servant who sit on the throne of the Lord the king after him? And so here we have, while Bathsheba was speaking even yet to her husband David, Nathan comes in, and he was announced to the king. And I'm sure whenever Nathan came in, David listened. Remember, there was a commercial years ago that when this certain, I forget who it was, some company speaks, everybody listens, everybody drops everything. Well, that's kind of the way it was with Nathan, you know, because he was unquestionably a true prophet of God. Now, the question, didn't David announce that Adonijah would sit on the throne? And had the king done this in secret without telling the servant? Servants of the king or this prophet? I think sandwiched in between the two questions was the report that Adonijah was now celebrating his coronation, and all the king's sons, except Solomon, were there doing the same thing. It's very likely that Nathan's recitation of the facts here brought David's memory back to the terrible days of Absalom's rebellion. How heartbreaking, how hurtful that must have been. And he probably, after he examined those things, didn't want the nation to go through another civil war like that. And I think that might have been why he perhaps quickly nipped this in the bud. The Bible tells us that, well, probably one of the reasons that a lot of people were going toward Adonijah instead of Solomon was because Solomon was a man of peace. He didn't know anything about war. He made a fact, he spent his time in the palace, you know. 1 Chronicles 22 and 9, like it says, that behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all of his enemies all around. His name shall be Solomon, for I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. And again, being reared up in this palace, he probably had no experience with war whatsoever. And perhaps Adonijah, like his brother, did. So David must have reasoned that if there were a civil war, because Solomon was the one that God chose, the temple would not be rebuilt. And that was his heart's desire. You know, I see that today in all the Jewish people. Right now, if you were to go to Jerusalem and you were to ask the Jewish people, how do you know when Messiah will come? And they will say, he will rebuild our temple, you know? And so this is a picture of the fact that when Messiah comes, he will establish his kingdom, you see. And so the seriousness of this scenario begins to sink into David. As it says in verse 28 through 37, then the king answered and said, call Bathsheba to me. So she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king took an oath and said, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from every distress, just as I swore to you by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon your son shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place, so certainly will I certainly will do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed her head and face to the earth and paid homage to the king and said, let my lord King David live forever. And King David said, call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada. So they came before the king. And the king also said to them, take with you servants of the Lord, and have Solomon, my son, ride on my mule and take him down to Gihon. Remember, the picture of Jesus when he rides into Jerusalem. Isn't riding on a white stallion? What's he riding on? He's riding on a mule. Amen. So it's a picture of Christ. And they let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him over Israel and blew the horn. It said, long live King Solomon. Then you shall come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne, and he shall be king in my place, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah. Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, amen. May the Lord God of my Lord the king say so too. As the Lord has been with the Lord the king, my Lord the king, even so may he be with Solomon and make his throne great, and then the throne of my Lord King David. Now again, David here, he responds immediately and told Nathan to call his wife in and these others, you know, and he swore that he would not back down from this, that this is his final will and testament, you might say. And to give strength to his oath, David even put further, went further than what people would expect. He made him a co-regent that very day with himself. David had not yet died, you see, and he was going to reign as king even while David was alive. His own eyes would see it. If David waited too long, Adonijah's rebellion would gain strength, and after David died, who then would have the authority to act? By making Solomon his co-regent immediately, David stayed in control, and he had Solomon do basically his bidding. Solomon was no longer merely a prince, but as co-regent with his father, he literally was king of Israel at that very time. Since David was alive, Adonijah had no right to the throne. And so David made Solomon king. So he nips it in the bud right away. David then asked them to call his servants, Nathan the prophet, Zadok the priest, and Benaniah. And these are men that he knew he could trust, and he instructed them to proclaim Solomon as king in a public demonstration to let them know, all the people know, that he has been appointed king. Again, this was an important place, Gihon. It was a place of the springs on the eastern slope of Mount Zion, less than a mile from the valley north of Enrogel, where Adonijah was feasting with his friends. So it wouldn't take long for the news to get to Adonijah, and he would find out Solomon was riding David's royal mule, that it was announced that he was going to be king, or that he was king, and that he was sitting on David's throne. And so when he heard that Zadok and Nathan were to anoint Solomon with the holy anointing oil from the temple, and he heard that trumpet being blown declaring to the people that this was an official event, that Solomon was now king, you got to know that some fear entered his heart. And this shows us that even though David was old and frail, he still had enough understanding and authority, and I believe wisdom from God. So Adonijah made a serious miscalculation here about his father concerning how far gone David was. After hearing David's instruction, Benaiah spoke up enthusiastically in agreement, and by so doing, he gave his support and the support of all the soldiers that were under him. Remember, they were the king's guard. These were the elite of the elite. And so they wouldn't have too much trouble putting down any rebellion. So Benaiah, of course, would end up being very faithful to Solomon as he was to David, and he would eventually be made the commander of all the armies. In verses 38 through 53, now it says, so Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites and the Pethites, went down and had Solomon ride the king's mule and took him to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took a horn of oil from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the horn, and the people said, long live King Solomon. And all the people went up after him, and the people played the flutes and rejoiced with great joy, so the earth seemed to split with the sound. I find this interesting because I think it's a picture of the future when Jesus establishes the kingdom. Amen? And there's going to be great joy. Now Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it, and as they finished eating, and when Job heard the sound of the horn, he said, why is the city in such a noisy uproar? While he was still speaking, there came Jonathan, the son of Abiathar the priest. And Adonijah said to him, come in, for you are a prominent man, and bring good news. Wrong. This was like the handwriting on the wall. And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, no, our Lord King David has made Solomon king, and the king has sent him with Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites, they have made him ride on the king's mule. And so Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon, and they have gone up from their rejoicing, so the city is in an uproar. This is the noise that you have heard. Also, Solomon sits on the throne of the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servant have gone to bless our Lord King David, saying, may God make the name of Solomon better than your name, and may he make his throne greater than your throne. And the king bowed himself on the bed. And the king said thus, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has given one to sit on my throne this day, while my eyes see it. And so the guests who were with Adonijah were afraid and arose. Each one went his way. Now Adonijah was afraid of Solomon. So he arose and he went and took a hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, indeed, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon. For look, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. And Solomon said, if he proves himself a worthy man, not one hair of him shall fall to the earth, but if wickedness is found in him, he shall die. And so Solomon sent them to bring him down from the altar, and he came and he fell down before King Solomon, and Solomon said to him, go to your house. I think that's kind of equivalent to saying, go to your room, you know. So Zadok and Nathan and Benaiah protected David's household. They obeyed his instructions to the very letter and announced to Israel that Solomon was king. The people were ecstatic, and they played their musical instruments. They celebrated, and like it says, the earth seemed to split with its sound. Again, I think this is a picture. Adonijah and his guests didn't know what to think. This was a sound of war, or had David died? They just didn't know. I believe when the Lord returns, there's going to be so much confusion in the land of those who've tried to usurp the Lord's throne that the same thing's going to happen. All of a sudden, Jonathan, this fellow shows up and he brings him this bad news. I'm telling you, there couldn't be any worse news for this guy. And all of him and his fellow conspirators, they scattered. They didn't know what to do, you know. Did you get a picture of the enemy and all his imps and all those who are against the Lord in that day when the Lord steps out on a cloud and says, I'm here, you know? You think there's going to be some people afraid? Well, the book of Revelation talks about the fact that when the Lord parts the clouds and comes out, you know, as the sky's rolled up like a scroll, the people are going to run into caves and rocks, and they'll say, for the rocks to fall on them, to hide them from the face of the Lamb. Amen. The one who's come to establish his kingdom here upon the earth. And so all these guests, the naive princes, all of them rose and fled back to the city, hoping that they would find safety there. And Adonijah, he went to the temple in Jerusalem and to the part where that the house it wasn't the tabernacle even. It was a separate tent. The tabernacle was another place that housed the other furniture at that particular time. This was a place that housed the ark there. And on the altar, there were four horns on that altar, and it used to be that you could come in and you could grab a hold of the altar and find safety and refuge there before the six cities of refuge were established. Before the six cities of refuge were established, you needed a place you could go where you could find safety. After the six cities of refuge were established, a person, if they had killed somebody accidentally, they could flee to that city and they could stay there. And as long as they stayed there, you know, then they were safe from what would be called the avenger of the blood. It would be a assigned person, maybe a family member, who was sent out to, you know, take the life of the person who had killed their loved one, you know, because under the law it was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and so on. And of course, the rule was that after the high priest died, he was to be free, and that the avenger of the blood could not harm him. So in Exodus chapter 1, verse 12 through 14, it says, he who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. However, if he did not lie in wait, but God delivered him into his hand, then I will appoint for you a place where you may flee. But if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. So it's almost prophetic of what would happen here, you know, in the full sense, not only with Adonijah, but with Joab and with the others who rebelled against the Lord. Now, when Adonijah appeared before Solomon, you know, Solomon didn't rant or rave, you know. He kept his calm. And then he exhibited truly some leadership here and the authority of the kingdom that was behind him when he told him to go to your house, you know. And he showed mercy, which is what Christ is all about. He's a picture of Christ. And he allowed him to return to his own house in Jerusalem. Again, this amounted to house arrest because the king's guards would keep an eye on Adonijah. Under constant surveillance he would be to make sure that he wasn't doing something he shouldn't be doing. But Solomon, he warned his brother to be careful how he behaved because, after all, he was an insurgent who had done some things here that were worthy of death. And if he stepped out of line, he would be executed. He had warned him, given him, you know, prior warning. And so Adonijah bowed before Solomon. But the problem with Adonijah here is that his heart was not submitted to the Lord, and it certainly was not submitted to his brother. He didn't like the idea of having to submit to his authority one iota. So we go to chapter 2 and verse 1 through 4. It says, now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God and walk in his ways to keep his statutes and commandments, his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. So when he says, I go the way of all the earth, this was actually a quotation from Joshua at the end of Joshua's life in Joshua 23 and 14, when he says, Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. You know, the Bible says there is a day that's appointed to all men. You know, we're all going to die. And you know in all your heart and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you, and not one word of them has failed. So when he said, be strong and show yourself a man, again, it sounds like the words of Joshua at the start of his ministry. Joshua, in Joshua 1:6 says, be strong and be of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which he swore to the fathers to give them. So one day, Solomon too would come to the end of his life, and David wanted him to be able to look back with satisfaction. I believe that God wants that for us as well. Blessed is the person whose heart is right with God and whose conscience is clear, who can look back and say along with the Savior these words. I love the words of the Master here in John 17:4. This is prior to the Lord's death. He said, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Again, what I long to hear is to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. David's words here parallel Moses when he commissioned Joshua. He admonished him to be a man and to face his responsibilities with courage and with faith. The kings at this particular time were expected to be familiar with the law and the covenants, because in obeying God's word, they would find his wisdom and strength and blessings. Now, Joshua was not a king. They didn't have kings until, of course, Saul, but he was a judge of the land. He was a leader. He was one who had authority. And David here, he reminds his son of the special covenant that the Lord had made with him, this Davidic covenant. And he warned Solomon that if he disobeyed God's commandment, God would bring chastening and he would bring sorrow, if need be, to him and to the land, you see. But if he obeyed, God would bless him and the people, and they would see it, and that there would always be a descendant on the throne who was of the seed of David. David knew that Israel had a ministry to perform by providing a vehicle for the promised Redeemer to come to the earth. And now God's redemptive plan, he knew also, rested in Israel. So what's so tragic about it is the fact that Solomon didn't fully follow God's law. Even though he saw the mighty hand of God upon him to deliver him out of these different circumstances and situations, his heart wasn't fully to follow after the Lord. And he began to promote idolatry in the land. And he actually began to sin by marrying many foreign wives and things like that. And ultimately, it would cause the land to be divided, the northern kingdom from the southern kingdom. And, you know, it would become weak as a result. Now, more than anything, what I want you to see here is type and shadow. Indeed, Solomon is a type and a shadow of Jesus Christ. Adonijah, again, was a usurper. He was not the one who was anointed to be king. He speaks of the Antichrist, which means not anointed or instead of. And what I find fascinating about this whole story is First John chapter 2. It parallels the story. Here in 1 John 2, verse 18 through 19, it says, little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now listen to these words. It says, when they went out from us, but they were not of us, for had they been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us, but they went out that it might be manifest that they were not of us. Abiathar and Joab speak to that. They went out from David. They were part of David's inner circle, you might say. But they went out from David and they joined themselves to Adonijah. They showed that they were not of David by aligning themselves with Adonijah. It really speaks of the same thing. Next is the fact that David made Solomon co-regent. Listen to what it says here. It says, But you have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And whoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Isn't that interesting there, the type there? Because here he's co-regent with his son, David is. And here we see that Jesus is reigning with his Father, you see. And if you have the Son, you have the Father also. It says, let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall be counted, or you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. Just as God, through David, promised Solomon that if he would live for God, the blessings of God would follow him forever. The promise that we have from God the Father through the Son is that if we will follow him, we will have eternal life. Amen. The blessings of God will follow. Now, Adonijah was deceiving himself and everyone who followed him. And it was our Heavenly Father who chose Solomon. And Solomon knew that. No one had to teach him. He knew it in his heart. In the same way, look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 26 through 29. But these things I have written to you concerning them that try to seduce you. That's what Adonijah was doing. He was seducing people. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that a man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Think about those people now, whenever they heard all that commotion going on in Jerusalem. They're celebrating Adonijah, but now there's cause for shame. Amen. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. In other words, everyone that followed Solomon, you know, they were considered righteous in the eyes of God. But everyone who did not, in the same way, everyone who follows Jesus is considered righteous in the eyes of God. But everyone who does not, again, the wrath of God abides on them. So I think it's fascinating as you go through the Old Testament, study these stories, how you can come across these chapters and books and things that parallel what is being said in many ways. You know, there's a picture being developed for us there, hopefully to help increase your faith and knowledge to understand that this book isn't just written by men. It is God-breathed. It is divine. And it testifies of the Son. Even though it may be speaking about others, it is speaking prophetically about Jesus Christ. Any questions or thoughts before we close in prayer?